those at least who have not left already, that we want to say to you that we're going to miss you. And we wish you Godspeed. We want you to keep your grades up. We want you to have a little bit of fun, not too much, but remember where you came from and whose you are. Behave yourself, and we'll look forward to you being back with us and know that we'll keep you in our prayers. It seems inevitable that in the process of maturing, there is some degree of resentment of authority. By the way, this lesson, the purpose of this lesson is to encourage us to live every moment with the realization that we're under God's authority. And not just something that is occurs to us occasionally, but something that is part and parcel of our every waking moment, that we realize we're in God's kingdom and everything that we do is by His authority. Children push the boundaries to find out what they can get away with. I should say we, because most of us did to a greater or lesser degree. We constantly hear things like, it's not fair, that come out of their mouths. Any of you ever dealt with that from your children? And as a parent, you may hear an older child say something like, it's my life, I can do what I want to. Few of us like hearing someone tell us what we cannot do. Why do you suppose it is that it's so common that there is such a deep resentment against authority? Somebody came to me one time and asked a parent who had older children and said, can you tell me why young people tend to be so angry? I think this addresses some of why young people tend to be angry, because none of us like anybody telling us what we can't do. And the reason sometimes that there is such a deep resentment over authority is because maybe we've not yet realized the blessings and benefits of rules and boundaries and authority. In fact, there are some things you can't fully appreciate until something happens in your life. For instance, you can't fully appreciate the value of gun safety laws or rules until you've seen someone accidentally shot. And then all of a sudden it becomes real. And by the way, sometime I'll relate an incident to you because that happened to me. And so I have a very deep respect, particularly for certain kinds of firearms. I have a deep respect for the dangers of speeding in an automobile, because when I was a young child, I still have a picture in my mind of an accident scene that my family came upon on a road, and there were people, a car had been hit by a train, and there were people all out through this tall grass that were searching, and I remember my dad stopped. I was probably 5 years old, and people were out there with lights looking. In the moment, someone said, here it is, and they reached down, and they picked up a severed head and held it up. And I still have that picture. I wish I had never seen that, but it burned in my brain and is there from now on. And so whenever somebody is really foolishly speeding, that picture comes to my mind. And I appreciate the necessity of having rules and laws. No one appreciates laws against drugs and alcohol and gambling like somebody who lives in a home that's been decimated by their abuse. And the resentment of authority is not exclusive to the youth of our age. It's always been around. Philosopher Richard Rorty, describing his utopia in a book, Contingency, Irony, and Solidarity, says, and listen carefully, in its ideal form, the culture of liberalism would be one that was enlightened and secular, meaning not controlled by religion, through and through. It would be one in which no trace of divinity remained. Such a culture would have no room for the notion that there are non-human forces to which human beings should be responsible. Does it sound like this guy might have a little bit of problem with authority? that he wants to be his own authority and not answer to anybody. And if you've been wondering why Christianity seems to be falling on such hard times in our country, this philosophy maybe will provide you with an insight. Because there are numerous people in our society who would like to create a society in which there is, quote, no room for the notion that we're responsible to anyone other than ourselves. It's my body, it's my life, and nobody can tell me what to do with it. There's even a new religion, Yoism. If you haven't heard of it, it was formed by the students and faculty at the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Yoism is an internet-based religion which is based on what they call open source truth. And their official website states, quote, through this process of open dialogue, debate, and discussion, participants will gradually uncover, refine, and document the truth. We've been talking for the last several weeks about truth. I hope that it gets through to us that the battle in societies has always been over who gets to say what truth is. There's the battleground right there. Who gets to say what's right and what's wrong? And that battle wages in many different fronts and has many different avenues through which it permeates and touches our lives. Ours is not the first society to reject God's authority and establish man's experience as a source of truth. Twice in the book of Judges it says, every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. And here we are one more time. It happens over and over in society. And I can't help but notice that this attitude surfaced after God had incredibly blessed these people in Judges beyond their fondest, wildest dreams. Here they were in a brand new land that they had not cleared nor settled. They had houses, they had gardens, they had vineyards that other people had built and planted. And here they were, the recipients of all these good things. And instead of gratitude, they rejected God's authority over them. Some things never change, do they? Everything that we do is based on some authority. This is my first little point I want to drive home to you. I didn't say everything that we do should be based on some authority. I said it is based on some authority. Whether we recognize it or whether we don't, if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that all human beings are under obligation to submit to the authority of God in Christ. And Paul articulated this extremely important principle in his letter to the Colossians, when he said, in whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the, what? Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the phrase, in the name of, is synonymous to, by the authority of. Whatever you do in word or deed, what you say and what you do, everything in your life, you do it by the authority of the Lord Jesus. The Jewish authorities during Christ's time were extremely upset that the apostles were spreading Christian concepts throughout Jerusalem, and so they hauled Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. They hauled them to court. They kept them overnight, and then the next morning they brought them in, and they said, by what power or by what name have you done this? In Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And you know what? That was a good, legitimate question. Who gave you the right to do this? And this that they were referring to was they had healed a crippled man. And I really love Peter's answer. You see, this question needed to be answered, and it needs to be answered today. Who was giving them the right to teach what they were teaching and do what they were doing? What authoritative source would they appeal to that sanctioned their actions? And Peter was happy to answer. He said, if you're asking me by what authority this man was made whole, then I want you to know, and I want everybody in Israel to know, that it was by the name of Jesus Christ. I want to make it really plain. That's whose authority I'm operating under, verse 10. And he took the opportunity to elaborate even further when he ended it up by saying, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. And the next verse said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. I mean, when they asked that question, Peter was happy to give them a response. Let me tell you who gave me the authority to do these things and say these things. As Christians, we have no authority that replaces or supersedes God's authority. Even governments receive their authority from God. Do you want to know why I submit to the government of the United States? Because God ordained it. Because it has the authority and the sanction of the Lord. And we've touched on this a few times recently because there are some that are really, we're really concerned about this, and it's hard for us to put all this together. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, if we read that about 40 times to each other, it might help us a little bit this upcoming week. In verse 4, he says, for the government is God's servant. In verse 6 of Romans 13, he says, this is why you pay taxes. You've been wondering why? You've been wondering why you pay taxes? This is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he left to return to the Father in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18? He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I have it all. And he gives it to whom he sees fit. And so, there is no authority except, no true authority except that which is derived from God. God, his Son, has all authority. And anybody that has any authority has to have it by his permission and by his agreement. Do you understand that we as Christians do and say everything that we do and say by God's authority? And this is what I want to impress on our minds this morning. Everything that we do and everything that we say is by God's authority. And if we're doing and saying some things that are not by God's authority, we need to stop. We're able to conscientiously say about everything in our lives, this is what I believe God wants me to do, or this is what I believe that God wants me to say. Now, that puts our lives on a pretty sober basis, doesn't it? But it also puts us under God's protection if we are doing what He and His authority tells us to do. We're safe. He'll take care of, He'll be responsible for our lives and what happens to them. One day, everybody's going to acknowledge His authority. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven and those on the earth. And I've got to tell you personally, and maybe I shouldn't feel this way, but it's going to be sweet to see some knees bow to Jesus one day. It's going to be sweet to see some people who have exalted themselves and set themselves up above God as the authority, to see their knees bow, isn't it? I've said all that to say this. We're all under authority. We appeal to some basis of authority for everything that we do and everything that we say. We don't consciously think every time we make a decision, but I want to that to become a part of our thinking process. If somebody asks you, why did you do that? You give them some answer. You might say, well, my boss told me to, my dad told me to, my teacher told me to, or told me that I could. Or you might say, well, I felt like it. And when you say that, you appeal to an authority. Who's the authority you just appeal to? Me. Or you might say, well, it felt right. Whose authority, what authority did you appeal to when you say that? your feelings. Your feelings became your authority and the basis on which you made that decision. That's the foundation of the adage that if it feels good, do it. Right? My feelings say, do it. Man has consistently set himself up, my feelings, my reasoning, my logic, as his own authority. And God has plainly warned us, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. There's never been a man smart enough born yet that was able to direct his own steps in consistency with God. Listen to the way the New International Version says it. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. How many of us really believe that, and how many people in our society believe, my life is not my own, my body is not my own? The whole course of your life depends on whether or not you accept that as being true. So drive a peg down right here. Each one of us are under authority. Either we believe that we have the right to act on our own, or we do what God teaches us to do. Your choice. Now, one more point. If you act under God's authority, you must have scriptural basis for your actions. If you claim to be acting under God's authority, then you must be able to go to His Word and show why that's true. The only alternative to this is if you believe that God's speaking directly to you today and He's revealing some new message to you, or that the Bible is not authoritative for us. Some people say, well, the New Testament was authoritative when it was written to the first century church, but it's no longer applicable to us today. But really, I'm not going to address those things in this lesson. I will just say that that's a form of rejecting the authority of the Scriptures. The point I want to make in this lesson is if you claim to be acting under God's authority, then you must have a scriptural basis for your actions. That is true to the Scripture, not taken out of context. It's certainly possible for those individuals who have an agenda to misuse Scripture and take it out of its context to prove something they've already determined to believe. Peter wrote, Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him, and his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other Scriptures to their own destruction. It's easy to take a Scripture out of context and make it a proof text and prove something that it never was intended to prove. That's just another reminder. It's hard not to believe what you want to believe. And that's a reminder to all of us. Here's a simple test for belief and practice for a Christian. Show me in the Bible where you have the authority to do that. Or as we used to say a lot of years ago when I was in school, and it got to the point of absurdity that everything that you said and everything that you did, another student will walk up to you and snap his fingers and say, passage, please. And it got to everything that we did. It got to the point where I need to go to the restroom. Passage, please. Everything had to have a passage, please. But there's a point here that we need to be very aware of. And that is, we must, if we claim to be under God's authority, we must be able to go to the Scriptures and show where we have the authority to do that and where He gives us a right to do that. Lots of folks have always been claiming to represent God who misrepresent Him. Peter warned about that in this Scripture that's up before you here. You remember the Roman centurion from Capernaum who had a beloved servant that was terribly sick? And he sent to Jesus. You remember that discussion about authority? Where when he came to Jesus, he said, I'm a man under authority, and I tell somebody to go and do this, and I tell this person to come, and he comes. I'm a man under authority. He understood the principle of authority. You know, these military guys, they're no-nonsense guys. He just cut straight to the chase, didn't he? He said, I know what authority is, and I've seen you, and I've watched you, and I know you don't even have to come under my roof to take care of the problem that I need taken care of. You understand what it means to be under the authority of God and His Son, Jesus Christ? It means that you do what He tells you to do, and you say what He tells you to say, nothing more, and nothing less. Authority. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's our goal as Christians. And as we go about our daily activities, let's keep this in mind. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We're under His authority. He tells us what to do and what to say, where to go, what kind of activities to be involved in, and what kind of activities to not be involved in. And you can resent that if you want to, and you can buck against that. You can kick against the goads if you decide that that's the way you want to live and set yourself or someone else up as authority. But one day, every knee is going to bow before Him. You don't have the right, nor do I have the right, to pick and choose. He gave us His Word. We're under His authority. How are you doing with that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as the authority in your life, and are you living with Him as the Lord of your life? Are you His child and a part of His kingdom? If you're not, then He gives you the opportunity to be that this morning. And if, as a citizen of that kingdom, you've not been living by the rules, you've not been living under His authority, then He gives you the opportunity to change that this morning. You have that opportunity while we stand and sing. Won't you come?